This is Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Brandon Kravitz here from RotoWire.com. Thank you for joining us today. Happy 4th weekend. Hopefully you are going to have a safe and festive 4th of July on the country's 250th birthday there. We've got a lot on the plate for you today. We're going to talk World Cup. We've got Tom Rennie joining us. He is awesome. You guys are going to really love him. He joins us from Talk Sport. He joins us in about 15 minutes. We're going to talk with some baseball props with Greg Peterson joining us as well. And we got our best bets. We're going to, you know, the basketball talk has slowed a little bit there, but we still got a little basketball news as well. Brandon, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I am ready to celebrate tomorrow, but it would not be a proper festive atmosphere without a Dinger Friday first. So happy to be here. We'll hand out some winners, hopefully, and then tomorrow we'll try and eat slightly fewer hot dogs than Joey Chestnut.
I know there's some people speculating on it. I've never once watched the hot dog eating contest. Does not appeal to me in the slightest. So good luck to those of you who do care about it. I won't yuck your yum, but it's kind of a yuck your yuck. But anyways, that's the way I kind of feel about that one there. Let's talk a little World Cup. Interesting day yesterday. Spain, they showed their class yesterday. They really smoked Austria 3-0, and it could have been worse. The Austria goalkeeper stood on his head a few different times to stop him. Austria really didn't mount much of a challenge ever. They had a couple of headers, but Spain really controlled this game all the way through. They looked like the betting favorite that they were heading into this tournament.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was good to see them, that one of the presumptive powers of this tournament, kind of get back on track, if you can call it that. Lamine Yamal certainly seems confident moving forward. The thing I wonder about his involvement and this squad going up against some of the other powers we see, I don't think there's anybody out there that's been watching this tournament that isn't enthralled by what they've seen from France so far. Argentina looks like the most likely candidate to meet them in that final, but the best player on the team for Spain is 18 years old, and I wonder how much that inexperience and youth bites them at any point. But should be a fascinating match in the round of 16. Spain and Portugal, cannot wait for that one.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one as well. Just really looking forward to that. You know, you start looking at it's time to start kind of like projecting ahead on the brackets there. Like, okay, where do we see these collision courses? Like France and Spain, we're probably going to see them in perhaps as early as the quarterfinal. Am I reading that right? That to me is like one, like, oh, well, that would be one I'm very excited about seeing there. So we'll see. They're in the same half of the bracket at the very least. Those look like the two best teams. Portugal, Croatia, the most entertaining game of the three-game slate yesterday. Very controversial in a lot of different ways. Was that a penalty in the first half? In the second half in the run of play? Should that last goal have been allowed? The equalizer was ultimately ruled offside. Disputed that whether there was a touch or not there. You know, VAR has played a big role in this tournament, and it played a massive role in that game.
You know, when you have so many countries that are closely aligned in terms of their quality of play, then that's when you're going to have officiating play a bigger role. And I think when you haven't seen the chasm between some of the teams that we would assume are great and some of the teams that you would assume are in the middle of the pack, that's when the officiating becomes an even bigger factor. I try to give as much grace as possible, not just in this sport, but in any sport that we cover, to the officials. They have a really hard job. I think officials in general, from the youth league level to the pros, and even on the World Cup stage, are far too heavily scrutinized and criticized. So that's my disclaimer. However, Croatia got screwed. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Multiple occasions where they score, get called for offsides. And that last one was awful. The ball didn't even touch the Croatian player. I don't know how many different times you're going to look at that and say, isn't it the whole point of review, definitive proof? How can you say it was definitive? If anything, it grazed a hair on the head of a Croatian player. That is a tough pill to swallow to go down that way. And they weren't necessarily going to win. had that been called a goal, but at least you get to penalty kicks, you get to some extra time, and you give yourself an opportunity
to play.
I would have loved to have seen that. And I think that we got robbed, but more than anything, Croatia got robbed yesterday.
Yeah. And quietly Spain kind of got robbed a little bit there because, you know, they're going to play Portugal. They didn't force, Portugal or Croatia to play 30 more minutes and then kicks from the mark before they could play them. I mean, short turnaround here in tournament style there, both Portugal, has a younger team. So at least that's one thing. Both Portugal and Spain have a lot of youth on their teams. So they may be able to turn around better. I mean, if Croatia had won that, they're an older squad too. So and Croatia's got a history being able to excel in if you get to kicks from the mark there. So I think that was another one that was really interesting. Finally, in the nightcap, Switzerland pretty much dominated that nightcap there. 2-0 win for them, over Algeria. They play the winner of Colombia and Ghana, which is tonight.
Yeah, so they've got a real shot to make it to the quarters. I think that's one of the big takeaways from watching not only the way that they were able to dominate Algeria, but I don't think Colombia or Ghana are blowing you away. It would be more of a toss-up than anything else. Their defense has not conceded more than a goal in 4 World Cup matches, so that's been the most stifling part of what we've seen. Huge historically for them. This is their first knockout round match win since 1938. So shout out to the Swiss for getting it done for the first time in a long time.
Do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use promo code VSiN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Little hockey in July talk here. It has to be an elite player for us to be talking about it. Alex Ovechkin qualifies. He's returning for an astounding 22nd season, Brandon. Towards the end of the season, there was a game they were playing against the Penguins. And a couple of the Pens wanted to give him like this special send off, and he was waving him off. And we're like, okay, he's just being cagey. He had this long rivalry against Crosby and Malkin and all that. No, he's coming back for another year after all.
Yeah, good. I'm not ready to see him hang it up 22 seasons into his hockey career. And this is now the new norm for iconic athletes. Brady's done it, LeBron's done it. Rodgers, Ovechkin, Stafford will probably get there too in terms of playing, but not only playing, but playing at a high level at the age of 40. And what's amazing to me is that not only that he played last season and was good, he played all 82. He scored or assisted on 64 goals. It's the availability to me going along with the productivity at this age. And let's not take this for granted, even though we're seeing this in a number of sports. How truly impressive that is. He is one of the goats of the sport, and I'm glad that he's going to get a proper send-off.
All right. NBA, Tari Eason signed a 5-year, $81.5 million deal to return to the Rockets. We haven't talked a lot of Rockets this offseason. Been spending our time with Celtics trade or other massive trades. But Eason, he's a pretty big part of this Rockets team.
Yeah, he is. And I think the contract that we saw is in line with what we've seen in the NBA. Teams don't let good players go. Tari Eason is definitely at the bare minimum a good player. He was a restricted free agent. In the past, we've seen the host team, the team that can sort of anchor the deal, potentially lose a bidding war in restricted free agency. That just doesn't really happen anymore. The most valuable commodity in the NBA is owning a player's rights. And that way, if a guy doesn't want to play for you or you decide you want to move on, you get something for him in return. It's the reason why we've seen NBA free agency completely wither away outside of shout out to another 40-year-old waiting for LeBron James and seeing where he eventually signs. But 16.3 per year for a 25-year-old who can defend and shoots 35% from 3-point range. This is a no-brainer for the Rockets. Very team-friendly deal and a guy that is at the core of what they want to do.
Rockets were a disappointment in the playoffs. They lost to a Luka-less Lakers. They are the seventh favorite, according to the DK Sportsbook, in the Western Conference. 30-1 to win the Western Conference. Let's face it, it's all OKC and San Antonio, and everyone reacting to that. Minnesota at 12-1, Denver 13-1, Warriors, who knows if they do the Expendables thing. They're at 18-1, the Lakers are at 21, then the Rockets at 30-1.
Yeah, that, I mean, it just goes to show how much stock is down on Kevin Durant, because when he joined the team, they zoomed towards the top of the list in the Western Conference, but I think the bloom is off the rose there. And you mentioned the race in the Western Conference. It would be a shock if anybody else is able to break through. A team like Minnesota, we've had high hopes for before. I don't think adding LaMelo Ball and subtracting Julius Randle is going to get many of us to the window. Jeff, the Eastern Conference is just far more intriguing. When you talk about predictions, bets, that you could go 10 deep and make a decent case. You just can't do that in the Western Conference. The Rockets, very talented team, but I don't think we're going to have many people racing to bet them to win the West or the title.
Yeah, we're having, basically what we're seeing is a lot of teams change their teams significantly in reaction to the Thunder and to the Spurs. And, you know, the Lakers are turning over a new leaf. They're moving on from LeBron, or he's moving on from them, depending on how that's being couched. I think there's a little bit of mutual happy to be done with each other sort of thing there. The Timberwolves tore apart their team, trade away Julius Randle, traded for LaMelo Ball. It's everyone's got a dash of crazy in the West because you're right. The East is a lot more competitive, a little bit more open. We're going to talk a little bit more World Cup. Tom Rennie joins us next. Can't wait to talk with him. Talking World Cup. Stay tuned. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Brandon Kravitz here. Our next guest is on the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us from the football show on SiriusXM FC. He's the editor of TalkSport International. He is Tom Rennie. You follow him on Twitter at Tom Rennie Soccer. Tom, have had you over on the RotoWire show on SiriusXM. Happy to have you over here on VSiN as well. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here. I hope the World Cup never ends because I'm getting invited on great shows with fun new people. Normally, I just sit on my own on the soccer channel moaning about West Ham's relegation. This is very fun for me. I'm enjoying it.
There you go. And you just lost a player to Tottenham, too, unfortunately, there. So that happens with relegation. Oh, yeah. So it's part and parcel. But let's jump right into today's slate. Got Australia versus Egypt today. Egypt won their group, going up against the Aussies, who played one of the boringest games in the history of the World Cup against Paraguay last time out. What do you like in this game?
Well, I like Egypt. I can tell you that for a kickoff. Look, I feel like Australia, I think they're ranked number 27 in the world. They've done really, really well to get this far, right? There are so many teams who will feel they should have made the round of 32 in this massively open World Cup where so few teams got eliminated. So for them to have got further than the likes of Scotland and one or two other nations who feel like they should have gone further, it is a tremendous achievement. But they really did it on the strength of one really impressive smash and grab victory over Turkey in that first game, where they low block, sat really deep and hit a couple of great counter-attack goals. But from that point onwards, they've sort of just disintegrated Australia. And I expected so much more from them in the ensuing games against Paraguay and the USA, respectively. It doesn't go with the American sporting, the Australian sporting spirit that I know so well, having competed against them as an Englishman my entire life. You know, the Ashes have been going for 150 years and it's never going to stop. And so you expect them to battle to the death, and we haven't really seen that so far. So from them, I expect a bit more adventure. From Egypt, with the African countries falling like dominoes in this round of 32, I think they're the best chance of what is left to get through. In Omar Marmoush, they've got one of the stars potentially of the next 5 years of European football. In Mo Salah, they've got one of the best players of the last kind of 15 years in the Premier League, as many viewers will know. And they're better than what we have seen so far. A good win over New Zealand, should have won comfortably over Iran, but because of the way the group went, they kind of took their foot off the gas. There's some doubts about Mo Salah here, but I do think that this is the kind of game that plays nicely into the hands of what Egypt have, which is Australia are going to come forward, they're going to dominate the ball, and they have better players. So Egypt to win is 130. I think that's worth a punt. I can't see an Australia goal. They just don't really have it in them, to my mind, to score in this game, and Egypt aren't going to be high enough up the field for them to exploit pace in behind. So Egypt win to nil was 250. And I always like a little group bet. Like, if you're going to go conservative, a nice little group bet on the favourite, you can find 1-0, 2-0 or 3-0 put together at 250, which I always like. These come in more often than not when the favourites take on the underdog. So I'd have a little punt on that as well. But Egypt are going through here, I think.
Before we move off of this match completely, the odds would suggest, and your analysis would as well, that this is going to be a low scoring match. Can you stomach a plus money under at 1.5?
I think it is going to be tight. I think it is going to be tight, and I'm not expecting this to go over 2.5 goals, right? So I'd be looking at anything that puts you under 2.5. I think that'll make you some money here. My only doubt is that Egypt defensively have conceded in every game. But I think at the moment, my lack of faith in the Australia attack overrides anything I think about Egypt's defence. I just cannot see any offensive talent in this Australia side. So ending under 2.5, I think you're going to be safe here.
Argentina's games so far have been the Messi show. It's almost like it's a commercial production. It's been so dialed in. They've had it. Everything has gone fairly smoothly for Argentina. And now they draw Cape Verde. What do you like in this one? Do you have a bet in this one?
Yeah, I've got a couple for you, but I think that just broadly on Argentina, what's really weird about this World Cup so far is that because it's been expanded, there's been a lot of, you know, we call them stats padding games, right? I'm sure there's similar terminology as well. You're playing Jordan and you're playing Cape Verde and you're playing all these nations that, I'm not saying they don't belong at the World Cup. Everyone who qualifies belongs at the World Cup. And Cape Verde getting a draw against Spain and getting through their group, maybe the story of the World Cup to this point. However, we don't really start the World Cup properly until the round of 16. Everything before it is preamble. You know, it's a chance for Scotland to be here, frankly. From that point onwards, this is the real stuff. And I think Argentina, this is the last time they can maybe make some rotations before it gets going properly for them. Looking at the way their half of the draw develops as well, they could be up against Switzerland in a quarterfinal. They could be up against a pretty easy Australia or Egypt in the next round. So they can maybe rotate a little bit, which is the only thing that makes me not say Messi scores 10 and this is 15-0. Like, that's the only reason that I probably wouldn't do that here. But they're going to win very comfortably. Look, the Cape Verde story is great. The Vizinha saves against Spain, and the fact that he went from like 500,000 Instagram followers to, I think it was 10 million at last check because he became this global celebrity. But it isn't, understandably, a particularly strong footballing nation, Cape Verde. They're around 67th in the world. They have shown they can defend. And they have shown they're not afraid. They were not afraid of Uruguay, and they maybe should have won the game against Saudi Arabia. But again, that third group game, if a 0-0 draw is what you needed, it felt like a lot of games were going to be handshakes all round. But in this one, if you're going to make any money, you're only going to do it on Argentina winning big. So minus 3.5 goal handicap, 4-0 or more for Argentina, came in at 300. I think that's a pretty safe bet. I think they'll score at least three here. So if you go for minus 2.5, it's 125. I think that's pretty conservative. If you want to make some money on this, go big or go home and go for four or more. Argentina win on over 3.5 goals in the match. Pretty conservative, 163. You can get more adventurous than that if you want. And if Lionel Messi plays, I wonder if there's a conversation going on right now about him playing 45 minutes. How many goals can Lionel Messi get in 45 minutes before they rest him for a round of 16? If he plays, he will score. He will score multiple goals if he plays for 90. I'm just not particularly confident if they're 3-0 up against Cape Verde on the hour that Lionel Messi will continue. So I'd still look for Messi to score, Argentina to win, and to score at least two, maybe three, maybe four, and win this very comfortably.
Upsetting to hear, because Cape Verde has been such a sentimental underdog, a plucky underdog at this point. I know that a lot of people out there just want to find a reason to bet them, but it sounds like that might not be there. Let's move to Colombia and Ghana. The both teams to score a goal bet has been one of my favorite plays as a soccer novice, but it's, this match may be one to lean away from, maybe bet the no on that. Colombia's back line has been fierce thus far in this tournament. What do you see with Colombia and Ghana? And do you think that this could be a high scoring match?
Do you know what? It's one of those games that I can see finishing 0-0 after extra time and going to penalties, or I can see it finishing 4-4. Like, I just think there's only two ways this game goes, because absolutely right to highlight how good the Ghana defence has been, but they were so deep against England. I'm not sure you can do that in a game where you have to go and win it. Against England, the draw was a good result. Against England, the ball over the top to the runners, Semenyo, Ayo, Sulemana, etc., would have worked, and they should have got a penalty in that game as well. I cannot believe the Ezri Konsa foul wasn't given as a penalty to Ghana. If that happens, it's a perfect low block way of playing. In this game, when you have to go out and win it, I think you have to play slightly higher, mid to low, and that will give space in behind to a Colombia side who have one of the best attacks and certainly attackers in the competition, and that's Luis Diaz of Bayern Munich, formerly of Liverpool. He's such a phenomenal player that I just think that it's a shame for him, for Bayern this year, that he has been sort of overshadowed by the goals of Harry Kane and the creativity of Michael Olise, because he's been equally as phenomenal. And maybe the fact he's a bit older, we've known him for longer, he's not European, and obviously I'm working in European media, maybe that comes into the conversation a bit, but he has been absolutely phenomenal. A live wire in this tournament too. And you add that to people like Daniel Munoz, who's the Crystal Palace wingback, who scored a couple of goals in the World Cup already. Incredibly dangerous player from an unexpected position. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do. It's tough to know, because teams who don't have a great deal of experience in recent times at latter stages of competitions, it can go either way. But I think there's a good attack on both teams. I think there will be space in behind. I'd look at some late goals in this game as well. I would tip Colombia -250 on its own. They're obvious favourites for this game. Colombia win by exactly one goal. Which is 1-0, 2-1, very, very likely score lines here. That was a 2-2-5. But I think both teams to score wouldn't surprise me as well. 300 Colombia win, both teams to score. I think 2-1 to Colombia screams it to me.
Tom, I could go 45 minutes, but I'm going to give you 30 seconds, unfortunately. England, Mexico, short rest, Azteca Stadium, but England one of the favorites still in this game. You have a quick line on this one.
Anywhere else in the world, I'd say England win easily. The Azteca and the altitude throws in an element of doubt, but there's not one player in the Mexico side that I would put in the England side. I think England will win a close game, a tight game. I don't discount extra time and penalties, but England goes.
Awesome stuff, Tom. Appreciate you coming on board. Tom Rennie Soccer on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us again today. Enjoy this weekend.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, Tom Rennie, everybody. We're going to talk baseball with Greg Peterson next here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us again on the Progressive Guest Line is our good friend Greg Peterson. You know him. He's the host of the Baseball Betting Show and Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. He does a lot of beer brackets there. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. He's a good Midwestern stock guy from Wisconsin. We're going to start off talking about a Midwest game, White Sox at Guardians in the AL Central there. Greg, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, and it is amazing that we've got our 250th anniversary of this country, and no better way to be able to celebrate than looking at some baseball, some hot dogs during the break, and so much more. So appreciate you guys.
Of course. Let's jump right into it there. I just finished writing up White Sox Guardians for Dinger Friday. More on that coming up in a little bit. But you've got a play on this White Sox Guardians game, Anthony Kay versus Gavin Williams. What do you like in this one?
Yep, I am in on the Guardians on the money line. For Anthony Kay, he's been for lack of a better term, okay for this White Sox team, but he does give up a little bit more hard contact than what you'd like. Now for the Guardians, the big issue that they've had is all the injuries in the lineup. Jose Ramirez is out, Ana Martinez is out. They did finally get back Chase Lauder, but not necessarily a lot of boom with this team. But I think the Gavin Williams is going to be able to hold down the White Sox. A big reason why I did take the under. This was an 8.5. Even at an 8, I can vouch for the under here still, because for Gavin Williams, he's been significantly better at home rather than away from home. Overall for the season, he's given up 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. That goes down to 0.9 when he's away from home. And when he's been at home, that's been a sub-280 ERA out of him, and he gets over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. While the White Sox have been able to do a really good job with their offense, it is a team that can be a little bit all or nothing, because they rely upon Colson Montgomery and Miguel Vargas to be able to give you those home runs. So I do think that with the Guardians having a nice little bit of a bullpen advantage, with the Guardians, in my opinion, having the better starter, they find a way to get the job done in a lower scoring game. So in on that under of 8, and I do like the Guardians here on the money line.
I can't figure out, Greg, how the Orioles are this bad. They've got talent up and down that lineup, but offensively, they just can't seem to put it all together. They leave so much meat on the bone. Can Brady Singer continue to slow them down here in Cincinnati, or is it time to take a shot on the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, I just don't agree with the Orioles being a road favorite here, because you mentioned it. They're a very talented team, but the pitching has really let them down this year. They've been in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Trevor Rogers was so good for the team last year. He has just went straight downward. Now, what I will say for Trevor Rogers is that the fielding independent has been better than the ERA. He's not necessarily getting tattooed with the deep ball. He's just not getting a lot of whiffs. He's below 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, and for Brady Singer, well, he's been singing the blues this year. He's got an ERA that's well above a 4.75. He's had a rough season overall. It does appear as though he's rounding into form, though. He has been giving up 3 runs or fewer in 5 out of his last 6 starts, so he's been able to do a much better job there. And for the Reds, this bullpen was really bad in May and into early June. It's been stabilized a little bit. Caleb Ferguson coming off the injury list has helped this team out. You've had some of these wily veterans like TJ Antone and company do a pretty solid job out of the bullpen. And keep in mind that for the Reds, they got a huge addition back about this time last week in Ellie De La Cruz. That really gives this lineup a lot more as well. Now with this 10.5 total, I do like the under mainly because Singer's in a little bit of better form. And for Trevor Rogers, as bad as the season has been, he's been a little bit better here recently. So I think that the total's gone a little bit too high. I do like the under, and for the Reds, you're getting plus money on them on the money line. I took a shot.
We're talking to Greg Peterson. We're going to talk Mets Braves in a second. But first, if you're betting at Circus Sportsbook, for a limited time, you can fund your wagers with crypto using Burrow Pay and pay no fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurrowPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at Circus Sportsbook. Greg Peterson with us right now. Follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, let's talk a little Mets Braves. Christian Scott versus Grant Holmes. Holmes was in relief last time. He's back in the rotation for today. What do you like in this game?
I do think that the Braves are going to be able to bounce back. This is a relative pick 'em. In some places, the Braves are more around like a minus 112, minus 115. I do like them on the money line. And do be mindful that the Atlanta Braves actually had one of the worst records in all of baseball in the month of June. So things have been on the fritz for them a little bit, but it's just been an awful season in general for the New York Mets, a team that just has not been able to get out of their own way. It feels like whenever the offense is going, the pitching lets them down. Whenever they finally score a few runs, the pitching is just not there. Like, if it's not one thing, it's the other for the New York Mets. It has been a terrible season for them and for Grant Holmes. He does give out a few too many free passes. He's been giving out over 4 walks per 9 innings. That's the same kryptonite that you've got for Christian Scott. And the one thing that the Braves do have going for them with regards to the pitching rotation is that they are number one in terms of bullpen ERA. You've had so many of these guys be able to come out of the woodwork like Dylan Lee, Dylan Dodd. They've been so good for this team. And for the Atlanta Braves, I do think that they're going to get back online with their offense. They're still a top 10 team in terms of run creation. They certainly have been missing the bat of Ronald Acuna Jr. over the last few weeks, but for the Mets, even with being able to get Francisco Lindor back, they just haven't been able to generate a lot of offense. They are last in the National League in terms of overall run creation away from home, averaging about 3.7 runs per game away from home. So getting the Braves at right around about a pick 'em price, I took a shot on them on the money line.
Love the under in that one as well, with how cold the Braves have been. The Mets, you never know what you're going to get from them. I keep waiting for reality to strike these Rays, but it just doesn't look like it's coming. Favorable pitching matchup for Tampa, despite being the roadside here. Do they have the upper hand against Arrigetti and the Astros?
I think so. And I mean, for Nick Martinez, I'm sort of waiting for the bottom to drop out on him as well, because he gets fewer than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's been a master of inducing soft contact. Even with how few strikeouts he gives up less than a home run per 9 innings, and he does a really good job in terms of hitting the zone. By that, I mean he's getting fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings, so he's not giving out a lot of free passes. And for Spencer Arrigetti, man, it's been rough recently. 3+ runs allowed in each of the last 5 starts. He was a big-time regression candidate this time last month, and boy, has he regressed. 4+ runs allowed in 4 out of those last 5 starts. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, Junior Caminero just continues to hit balls out of the park. I think that he's had a home run in something like 7 out of his last 8 games. It's been incredible what we've seen there. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, they just have a lot of guys that they find a way to move the line, because outside of Yandy Diaz, along Jonathan Aranda, you maybe don't have a ton of power for the team, but you've got these guys like a Chandler Simpson who gets on base, swipes a bag. So those home runs that those 3 guys hit, they're not just solo home runs. They're 2-run shots. They're 3-run shots. And for the Astros, even though you've had Josh Hader be able to stabilize this bullpen a little bit, it's still been a bottom 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA. So with the Rays, you're getting them right around about -110 or so. I took a shot on them on the money line.
Talking with Greg Peterson here. Greg, let's go out west. Let's talk a little Red Sox Angels. Jake Bennett versus Reed Detmers. Reed Detmers is the Forrest Gump box of chocolates. You never know quite what you're going to get with him. You can get a massive strikeout game one game, and then you can get blown apart the next. What do you expect in this one?
Well, I feel like we know what we can get out of the LA Angels, and it's typically not anything good. Like, I actually trust in Reed Detmers here. Reed Detmers throughout his career has been very good against Boston, and he's pitched much better than what that ERA would indicate. His fielding independent is darn near a point lower. He's been giving up 0.7 home runs, 2.7 walks per 9 innings, while racking up darn near 10 strikeouts per 9. Like, Reed Detmers has not been the problem for the Angels. It's everyone not named Reed Detmers. This team is averaging only 4 runs per game at home. That's a bottom 8 mark in all of baseball. This bullpen has had the likes of Alec Manoah and Jordan Romano come out of it. Like, you never know what you're going to get out of that LA Angels bullpen, but you just know that it's not going to be anything good. And for the Boston Red Sox, this has been one of the best bullpens in all of baseball. I know that Aroldis Chapman has had a few fumbles, but keep in mind, Sunday Night Baseball, that was really not his fault. There was the Wilder Abreu errors out there. That was less than tremendous, to say the least. And then you got the likes of Garrett Woodlock and company that are able to come in there, hold down the fort. And I've noticed this with the Red Sox. They have been abysmal at home this season. They're darn near 500 team when they're away from home. They're 29th overall in terms of run creation, but that goes to 16th when they're away from home as well. So Boston has been better away from Fenway this year. With them being right around about -105, -110, I'm going to take a shot on them on the money line, banking on Jake Bennett to be able to give you a serviceable start. And then from there, the Angels with the bullpen and the offense just not doing their part.
So last Friday when Jeff and I did this show together, we had a buddy bet on the Marlins money line, and that came home for us against the Cardinals. Can we do it again? Can history repeat itself here? The Marlins, an absolute mash unit in terms of their ability to hit the baseball, and they're in Sacramento, one of the more friendly parks that's out there. So can we get to the window on the fish again, back-to-back weeks?
Absolutely. And with Tyler Phillips, he has been really good for the Marlins. Began his season in the bullpen. He has went into the starting rotation, and he may not get a lot of strikeouts, but he does a nice job keeping things out in front of him. And keep in mind, for the Athletics, they had a major injury with Tyler Soderstrom going on the injury list. A lot of people don't realize he was one of the better bats in all of baseball in the month of June. That is massive for this Athletics team. And also for the Marlins, they're a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. The Athletics have been a bottom 8 team as well, so that's been an issue. Marlins may not have a lot of guys that hit the ball of the yard, but they're sort of like the Southeast version of the Milwaukee Brewers. They nickel and dime you, getting plus money on the Marlins. I'm in on that money line.
Greg, enjoy the 4th of July. Enjoy our nation's 250th birthday. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You gentlemen do the same. Thank you so much.
All right, Greg Peterson, everybody. It's Dinger Friday. Brandon and I with our best bets. Coming up next, this is Prop Points. We'll be right back.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz. It's Dinger Friday. We're going to jump into that momentarily. But first, got a score update from the John Deere Classic. Zach Johnson is your leader in the clubhouse at 8-under. He is tied with Chris Gotterup. Jackson Super is on the course at 8-under. And Zach Blair and Lucas Glover are ready to tee off soon. Zach Johnson hasn't missed the cut at the John Deere since 2007. He plays every year. He's from the area. The tournament is near and dear to him. Pretty cool to see him being able to still be competitive at this level at age 50 there. A young whippersnapper, rising star on the tour. No, just a rising star on the Champions Tour. Also, quick note, Wilson Contreras, Kay Cavalli, both suspended 7 games for their kerfluffle earlier in the week. Both are appealing those suspensions. This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. But don't wait. This special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Today isn't just any day, Jeff. It's not just the day before the 250th birthday of our great nation. It is Dinger Friday. So we have to celebrate properly by starting with the red, white, and blue. It's almost like Major League Baseball did this on purpose, because you've got the Cardinals and the Cubs, a perfect color scheme for the day before the birthday of the United States of America. Andre Pallante against the newly acquired David Peterson. The Cubs have gone an impressive 15-4 since June 11th. This also includes winning 9 of their last 10. Can they keep it up? And who are we looking at for Dinger Friday?
Let's hope that the Rockets red glare for this game here. The Cubs have been on fire. They've won 5 in a row. They tore apart the Padres this week. And no one's hotter in baseball than Dansby Swanson right now. Did not want that off day. In fact, I think he showed up at the park and said, "Let's play anyhow. I know we're off, but let me keep on hitting." 3 homers on Wednesday, two on Tuesday. He's more than doubled his home run total for the season in the last 3 weeks. Incredible run for him. The Cubs as a whole are rolling. It's hot at Wrigley. It's going to be some possible rain today. That's the one thing we're looking for, but the wind's blowing out. It's Andre Pallante on the mound, and he is a guy that's an extreme ground baller, but still has given up 9 homers. We'll see. I think he's the classic overachiever type that does get hit hard against better lineups, and right now the Cubs are a better lineup. I love the Cubs team total over 5.5. We get that at minus 105 at DraftKings. For Dinger Friday, you thought I was going to go Dansby Swanson, didn't you? No, I'm going to go Seiya Suzuki plus 391 over at DraftKings. Get a little bit of a better cost and more opportunities to hit those home runs higher in the lineup.
What's more American than the red, white, and blue of one of the more popular teams in baseball in the Chicago Cubs? How about a game played in the nation's capitals? The Pirates look to invade D.C. on America's birthday, too. Very rude, Pittsburgh. 30-year-old right-hander Mitch Keller on the mound against Foster Griffin. The Nats have won 4 of their last 5. We've got some big bats on display tonight. Who are we looking at in this one?
Yeah, friends in Pittsburgh media were commenting on that. They're going to it's the birth of the nation road trip there. They face the Phillies and then go to D.C. to face the Nats. Mitch Keller is a little bit better on the road. So a little bit of caution with the Nats bats, although, I mean, hey, you know, I love betting Nats overs, but it's 9.5 today. So I'm staying away from that. I'm going to focus on a fun story. Foster Griffin, 8-2, 293 ERA, 104 whip, 24.5 K percentage. He's still 41 in the rookie of the year odds in the National League. So many good hitters in the National League as rookies, but Griffin has been great. Pitched in Japan last year. I'm going to take his strikeout prop over 6.5 strikeouts against a Pirates team that's been striking out a lot more lately. They strike out more against lefties. They struggle more against lefties and on the road. Plus 130 over at the Circus Sportsbook. For Dinger Friday, Luis Garcia, 16 homers on the year. Most of those against right-handed pitching, which Mitch Keller qualifies at. +431 over at DraftKings.
As American as apple pie, the pinstripes of the New York Yankees, but we've got some trouble in the Big Apple. The Yankees have dropped 7 straight, and while it looks promising with Garrett Cole on the mound against Mike Paredes, he's not been great since his return. Last 5 starts, a 6.12 ERA, a 5.95 FIP. Paredes, not a strikeout pitcher, so we should have some good options as far as active bats in this matchup. What are we thinking, and do the Yankees get back on track here?
So, yeah, absolutely. Should be a lot of interesting things going on. Check the status on Byron Buxton. Has missed the last 3 games with a hip issue there. As you mentioned, Cole hasn't been vintage. He's allowed 7 homers in 37 innings. Fun fact, the Minnesota Twins, who are the Minnesota Twins, lead the American League in runs scored, 429 runs scored, but they've also allowed the second most runs at 455. So, you know, expect some fireworks in this one. There's a reason why this total is at 10. I'm going with the Twins team total over 4.5 at +105 at DraftKings. And did you know that Brooks Lee has 14 homers already on this season? 927 road OPS, a 493 slug against right-handers. I'm going with him for Dinger Friday, +400 over at the Hard Rock Sportsbook.
Hard to argue with that. Let's move to the Orioles and the Reds. The Reds were struck out. They struck out 10 times against the Miz yesterday in Milwaukee. And a lot of people were on that under 9.5 for Jacob Mizorowski, just a bit outside on that one. But their bats did have a lot of success against arguably the best pitcher in the National League. 11 hits, 7 runs scored overall. Could this be the wake-up call that this lineup needs? Not as tough a task tonight. The O's are trotting Trevor Rogers out there on the hill. We heard Greg Peterson wax poetic about how bad he is. ERA just south of 5. Fireworks at the Great American Ballpark, Jeff?
Little known fact, Trevor Rogers had an amazing month of June. 2.05 ERA, 0.91 whip. Brady Singer is better at home than on the road. I'm taking the under in this one. Under 10.5, -112 over at Bet Rivers. For Dinger Friday, Gunnar Henderson, +290 at Circa. Brady Singer has allowed 19 homers on the season, so I like the Orioles to homer more than the Reds.
Let's move to the Guardians and the White Sox. The Guardians won in dramatic fashion last night. 2-run homer, bottom of the 9th, 6-5 win. I like runs in this one. I'll talk about that in my best bet. So I'm going to go oppo on Greg Peterson there. But I'll get into that shortly. What do you like in this AL Central clash?
So Gavin Williams is the better pitcher of the two by a lot. And there's a reason why the guards are favored in this one here. I want to focus on Williams. His strikeout rate has been fantastic this year, 28.3%. He's been better at home than on the road. I'm going to bet on Gavin Williams over 6.5 strikeouts, +122 over at DraftKings. You can find the 5.5 number in a couple places and get a minus number. I'm choosing it to be a little more riskier here with the number and get a better payout. For Dinger Friday, Kyle Teal, +750 at FanDuel. Williams does give up some home runs, 15 allowed, 11 of them in against left-handed hitters. So thought I'd take a little higher gamble here on that and finding a left-handed White Sox bat.
I'm going to be ambitious here and see if I can fit in 2 more. The Mets and the Braves, interesting matchup here. No one's hitting the ball worse than Atlanta right now, but it's not like the Mets inspire much confidence. Total sitting at 9.5. What do you like? What do you like?
I'm going to rip off a few bets here for you. Mets Braves. I like Christian Scott in the over 1.5 walks. He's allowed 2+ walks in 7 of his last 8 starts, -117 at DraftKings. For Dinger Friday, getting a good price on Juan Soto, +349 at DraftKings. Holmes has allowed 14 homers so far this season. Rays Astros, I like the over 2.5 total home runs by both teams, -115 at DK for Dinger Friday. Jonathan Randa, +460 at FanDuel. For Blue Jays Mariners, always, it's an obligatory Dylan Cease strikeout prop. It's 8.5 is the number. No Julio Rodriguez most likely in the concussion protocol. +118 at Bet Rivers. Strikeout rates are always higher in Seattle. For Dinger Friday, a little bit of a dark horse. Sean Keyes, if he's in the lineup, +650 at DraftKings. Brandon, I know you got a best bet on that White Sox-Guardians game. What is it, my friend?
But boy, that Junior Caminero home run prop was calling my name too, but I'll stay off for tonight. Chicago White Sox at the Cleveland Guardians, over 8.5. Gavin Williams' Cy Young campaign has taken a bit of a hit over the last month. The backline numbers show that he's cooling off a bit. Chicago's lineup not to be trifled with, and they've gone over their posted total 60% of the time over the course of the season. I like a lot of runs in that matchup.
Not to be trifled with. I like that turn of phrase. If you ever saw the show Sports Night, check out The Cut Man Cometh. I have a couple best bets. Cubs team total over 5.5, minus a 105 at DK. And then for Dinger Friday, Casey Schmidt. This is a bonus Dinger Friday. You didn't do the game, but plus 346 at DraftKings at Coors Field. Coming up next, money moves for Stormy and JBT. They're going to have Mike Palm, Will Hill, and Zach Cohen spanning the globe sports-wise there. It's a wide world of sports over on Money Moves. Thanks for listening to Prop Points. Happy 4th of July, everybody.